Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
As we move into the 7 o'clock hour here, it's the Christian Arcand Show, WEEI. Nice to have you with us here tonight on this, what is tonight? It's a Tuesday, I believe, right? Yeah, it's Tuesday. Tuesday, the 9th of September. We're only 12 days away from playing that song by Earth, Wind, and Fire about the 21st night of September, which, you know, great song. But you can't play it until then. Everyone plays it on September 1st. Can't play it until the 21st night of September. It says it right in the song, guys. Along with Boston, we are coming to you live in Portland and Saco, up in Maine, Upper Valley, Keene, Brattleboro, Springfield, Worcester, Providence, Cape Cod, and the islands. And if you're not in any of those places, don't forget, you can always stream WEEI anytime on the Odyssey app, as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. And you're going to want to remember that, especially when Doug Kye joins the show in about a half an hour. Looking forward to talking with him, getting his take on the first week of the season, the run-up to that first week of the season. And also, he has been right on top of this whole Bill Belichick, UNC, Patriots, facility beef, which is going on right now, and very excited to hear what he has to say about that. He's done some great reporting on that, along with Andrew Callahan, and that will be coming your way at 7:30. But what I wanted to talk about here was some expatriates who have signed elsewhere, and two pretty different ones. And that wasn't the only two moves that got made either, by the way. Peppers was cut a while ago. Cole Strange was cut a while ago. Today, DJ James got waived. And a lot of people think that's because Christian Gonzalez is going to be back and reinstated after that hamstring injury. I hope that's the reason. I can't imagine what else it would be, because James had a pretty good camp. Anyway, with all of this going on, the Patriots are now seeing some of their players who they cut get picked up by other teams in the AFC. Teams that have played against the Patriots, Steelers, the Dolphins. They know these guys. They know Cole Strange. They weren't laughing at him getting drafted like Sean McVay was the day of the draft. But they played against him. Steelers, certainly know Jabril Peppers when he was in Cleveland, and you know, various stops in other places. They're familiar with him. They know what he's all about. And I think with Peppers, much more so than Strange, that one needs a little bit more of an explanation that we never got. No one needed an explanation as to why they cut Cole Strange. At the very least, you could say, well, hey, what about having some depth in the interior offensive line? Isn't that worth anything? And I guess you could make that argument. But with Cole Strange, it was sort of a, okay, you can get that production somewhere else. Or you'd think you could anyway. Cole Strange, bit of a bust, injury problems. Dolphins are signing him because they're kind of desperate. They had an injury. Steelers had an injury too, and that's maybe part of the reason, or a big part of the reason, why they're going ahead and signing Jabril Peppers. But I do think that that's the type of move that you would make even if you weren't necessarily desperate. Because there's some safeties out there, some strong safeties, who are not as good as Jabril Peppers on NFL rosters. In fact, the Patriots might have one right now. But either one way or another, to see him get snatched up like that, to see Cole Strange get snatched up like that, you sort of wonder if Mike Vrabel's mission to flush out any semblance of what was already here, and he's really done a pretty thorough job of that, I would say. There is not a lot of carryover from last year to this year. In the coaching staff, in the wings, really anywhere. On the field, there's just not a lot of it. And I think that if he had his way, there would be even more guys that wouldn't be here anymore. Like Kyle Duggar wouldn't be here anymore. Anthony Jennings, they tried to trade those guys before the break, could not trade them. And now, I think Duggar played like, what, 5-10 snaps in that game? All the money he's making, that's great. But that's also part of the problem here. Like, you're bringing in a new regime. You're bringing in a new regime, which in any setting, any NFL setting, you know, your franchise, if you bring in a new guy, and he's going to be in charge of all these things, and he wants to do things his way, and he's not really all about continuing what was left behind him here with these four-win teams, which is kind of the opposite of what happened with Mayo. Mayo took over a four-win team, and he kept everyone. He kept just big contracts given out to Stevenson and Duggar and all these guys who probably shouldn't have gotten them, and in some cases definitely shouldn't have gotten them, and just tried to carry that over and thought, you know, Bill's gone. I'll be able to coach these guys up. These are our good players. They deserve to get paid. I'm familiar with them because I was coaching them last year, and this is how we go forward. This is how we succeed. And obviously it was a total dumpster fire. He got fired after 1 year. Not happy about it, obviously. And then here comes Mike Vrabel, and he's cleaning house. And he's been doing that basically this entire time. One thing that every time I talk about this, I always think about it. I've never mentioned it yet, but, you know, Mike Vrabel did such a thorough job of clearing out all these people, except for Gerard Mayo's brother. Gerard Mayo's brother is the strength and conditioning coach. And somehow, despite all the beefing that's going on right now, or perceived beefing that may be going on between these coaches, haven't heard anything about, what's Mayo's brother's name, do we know?
Begins with a D. Darian?
Devon Mayo, maybe?
Isn't it also strange that Vrabel comes in and cleans house of all the Belichick and Mayo guys, but keeps, as you said, Mayo's brother, but also Josh McDaniels, who is one of the biggest Bill Belichick guys of all time. Like, his career will forever be tied to Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Sure. And maybe that's what, you know, people are talking about. What Tom Curran's talking about, or what Wiggy was talking about, or what... Karen didn't really say this, but sort of, you know, in discussing their relationship and the evaluation of Drake May and, you know, Josh McDaniels and his role in all of this, this has now become a thing. This has now become a thing. And when you look around the league, like we watched Caleb Williams last night and J.J. McCarthy, and that Curran had a great hot take about that too, which we'll get to at 8 o'clock. But, you know, you watch other... second-year quarterbacks around the league, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, you know, these other, Bo Nix, these other QBs who last year, in some cases, had breakout seasons. Bo Nix, I think, established himself as something last year that he's going to have to continue and continue to evolve. Same with Jaden Daniels. Both of those guys had great rookie years. Caleb Williams, not so much. Michael Penix hardly played. And then there's Drake May. Drake May is more on the Caleb Williams side of things than he is on the side of Daniels or Knicks. But then there's someone like McCarthy, who was hurt all last year, didn't play. You have a system in Minnesota where Sam Darnold was able to walk in and basically take over that offense and put up major, major numbers. Things tailed off at the end, as they, you know, maybe are wont to do, and maybe Darnold's just not that good. But that was, I thought, indicative of the type of system and the type of program that when you parachute a rookie or a second-year QB who sat the whole year with an injury or whatever it is, a QB, a young QB making his debut, there's different settings and different scenarios that can be conducive to success and conducive to failure. And the Vikings have a good one. The Vikings have a good one. The Eagles have a good one. I think the Chargers had a good one when they dropped Justin Herbert in there. If Herbert went down with an injury, I don't know that they necessarily have that same kind of thing going on with them right now. Although Herbert looked great in that first game. The Bears, I thought, had a pretty good system going, maybe except for the offensive line. But in terms of pass catchers for Caleb Williams, they had something going there. And so far, he has been shaky. And so far, Drake May has been shaky. And that's sort of where I put them. Penix. He got kind of the ideal, all right, wait behind the veteran, learn the ropes, figure it all out, and then when we need you, we'll go to you. Drake May got a real sped-up version of that. His version of that was, we'll have you go behind Jacoby Brissett, but oh my God, Brissett sucks, and oh my God, this O-line sucks, and let's get May out there because this is going nowhere, and we need people to come watch these games. And as long as that's your mentality, I have a hard time seeing how success is going to be the outcome. Because I don't think Drake May has it naturally yet. Maybe he will. Maybe he'll grow too. He's still very much a work in progress. But that was also the big thing about him as opposed to these other QBs. These other QBs had all been in college for a while. Bo Nix is 24, 25. Michael Penix is an older quarterback. Williams, not so much, and neither with McCarthy. But, you know, like that, there were some guys getting drafted here who had good, strong rookie years. and they were in college a lot longer than Drake May was. They played a lot more snaps than he did and were a lot more polished coming into their first season than May is. And I think that we were hoping, as Patriots fans, that coming into this next season, you'd see a lot of that polish. You'd see a lot of, you know, that extra thing that Daniels and Nix and these other guys all were able to acquire in college. It's because they stayed there for so long, like Tommy Boy, you know, like they were getting their doctorate. But that's neither here nor there. The point is that when you have a young quarterback with raw sort of, you know, raw abilities, but not a lot of experience, bringing him along this way is a risky proposition. And Mike Vrabel sort of taking this whole thing over and deciding he's going to do it all his way. And Josh McDaniels taking over the offense, deciding he's going to do it all his way. And all of that sort of Drake May stuck in the middle of seems to me like it could go sideways. It could go sideways pretty quickly. And the problem is here, if it does, what do you do if you're Robert Kraft? You can't start over again. If you do, you might as well just kiss Drake May goodbye, or the prospect of Drake May ever being anything for you goodbye. If you go into a second year and it's dysfunctional again and you can't quite figure out how to pull yourself out of it, you already fired a coach after 1 year. You're going to do it again? You're going to go with three coaches in 3 years for Drake May, three offensive coordinators? Like, what exactly is the end game here? You're kind of in it right now. That's why Garigian's talking about evaluation time. That's why this is all being discussed this way. Because you can't just go and blow it up again. You can't. Not unless you want to be the laughingstock of the league. And I know for a fact that Robert Kraft does not want that. He wants to make it to the Hall of Fame, and you're not going to make it in the Hall of Fame if you're a laughingstock, unless you're Jerry Jones. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to Jay in the car. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, Christian, how are you? There were some interesting stats on the game, and I mean, if I were to tell you that, like, with no Gonzalez, we're going to give up 5 20-plus-yard plays through the air and defense, and that we're going to run the ball 17 times, but 16 of those times we're going to run it through the left side of the offensive line with guys that have taken no NFL snaps. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me with regards to the idea of a balanced offense or a defense that needed to adjust to the fact that it didn't have its best player.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's all fair. I think Bowers had like 2 30-yard receptions in like the same drive, or like maybe in 2 consecutive drives. He was killing them. Geno was killing them. And outside of Bowers, there's not a lot, you know. You got Myers. He didn't do a ton. You got burned by some of these kids. It was ugly. Defensively, that was an ugly performance. Now, if Gonzalez is back, that'll certainly help them against a team like the Dolphins. I don't know if Hill's going to play. I don't know what's going to happen with this domestic violence thing. Generally, it seems like the wheels of justice tend to move slowly when it comes to stuff like that in the NFL. So I would imagine Hill will be out there if he's healthy. But with him, with why, you know, the rest of that passing attack, having Gonzalez out there is going to be a huge, huge help. Huge. But I'm not going to ignore the fact that the Dolphins kind of own the Patriots lately. I mean, that's just a fact. And it's not one that I'm happy about or anything, but that's just the way it is. As for some of those numbers, the caller mentioned some numbers. Pro Football Talk had their latest thing out there, and I know we tend to exaggerate. I know hyperbole can be a thing that pops up on these airwaves from time to time when it comes to evaluating the team and what they look like and sort of all that stuff. But there were, from PFT in particular, some sobering numbers. And I think that when you take these things into account, it can change the way you look at it a little bit. And maybe that's not always right. You know, maybe that's not always the right way to go about it, because sometimes PFT, I think, can just go completely overboard with their analytics and they come up with these numbers that don't end up really making any sense. But, you know, you look at the offensive line, Drake May had the second most amount of time to throw the ball out of any quarterback in the NFL this week. The second most amount of time. That's according to, you know, PFT. According to PFT, May wasn't even really that bad. You know, according to them, and again, I'm not exactly sure how to interpret all of these numbers, but compared to everybody else, his rating was in like the 70s, which is, you know, average. He was average. I sort of thought he had a below average day, but that's, you know, that's average for him. And that's the way it works. So there's still plenty of time to fix this. There's still plenty of time to get things on track and get this offense moving and rolling. And hopefully a team like the Dolphins, if they're as bad as they looked against the Colts, that's a team you can sort of get right with. But the Dolphins are going to be looking to get right, too. And historically, especially down there in Miami, Hard Rock Stadium, they get right against you more than you get right against them. Bill is in Belchertown. Hello, Bill.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I just want to comment on the game. I thought Drake May was pretty average, but I guess I'm really confused with our offensive coordinator. You know, he's not coaching Tom Brady. I feel like he's not adjusting and not bringing out the strengths of this guy. We have a phenomenal athlete who's not getting to show that. I mean, Brady made every offensive coordinator look great. And I'm not so sure this guy is the right guy for Drake May because he doesn't seem to want to let him do anything other than what he wanted, you know, did with Tom Brady.
Yeah, Bill, you might be right about that. The question now is, do you ride it out or do you go three offensive coordinators in the first 3 years, which is the Baker Mayfield special? I mean, there's a bunch of QBs you can say that about over the years who they are on a bad team. The team's turning over head coach, offensive core, and everything's turning over year after year after year because they're just not getting any better because they expected the QB to come in and save them and save the day and lead them to the promised land, and it just doesn't work like that most of the time. Got to set up an infrastructure, got to set up a program, and a lot of times you got to have a plan, and a lot of times it just seems like they don't. Nick is in New Hampshire. Hey, Nick.
Hey, you just mentioned that Kraft wants to get in the Hall of Fame. I'm confused why we didn't get that guy from Dallas, Micah Parsons, and why we're signing the cheapest offensive coordinator. Just want to know your opinion on that.
Sure, Nick. I think with the offensive coordinator, there wasn't a whole lot of nibbles on the line there. I remember a year ago, they couldn't get an offensive coordinator. They tried everything. They tried hiring all sorts. Nick Cayley and all these different pieces. What was the guy's name? The wide receiver. Zach something. I forget his last name. Zach Smith. Zach something. I forget his name. They wanted all these guys. They ended up going to the Rams. I think both of them did. And just completely blowing off the Patriots, taking lesser jobs and better on better teams with better offenses and better coaching structures and all that other stuff. And I'm not going to tell you that I know any inside information or why these people decided to go in the directions that they did. But I can guess. I can guess that that report card had something to do with it, that maybe New England's not considered a great place to go work, especially not in the wake of, you know, the Belichick regime ending. And when the Belichick regime was going on, if you were a friend to Bill, then you got a job. And if you were related to Bill, you got a job. And that was it. That was the circle. And the circle got smaller and smaller and smaller year after year, to the point where I think Robert Kraft fired Bill Belichick and then realized, oh, God, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing right now. I got to get all these other people in place. Bill was doing all this all these years. And he hires Mayo, who wasn't ready, and a bunch of other rookies who were doing their job for the first time, you know, rookie coordinators, rookie head coach, rookie quarterback. Just a ridiculous situation for a young quarterback to be in. As for him being the cheapest, I don't know if he was the cheapest. You probably could have signed someone cheaper than Josh McDaniel, if I had to guess. And I also don't know if people were banging down the door to come work with Drake May either. I mean, it didn't seem like there was a whole bunch of other opportunities that they had. And McDaniels was the guy they went with. I mean, it just, you know, I didn't really remember that. What was the other question he had? There was the first part of the question. What was that?
Why do they not go and get Micah Parsons?
Oh, Micah Parsons. Well, I have no idea, caller, personally. I have no freaking clue. But what I heard people say is, well, the Patriots are in a team that's a Micah Parsons away from competing for a Super Bowl. And I heard that, and I wanted to jump off a bridge. What? So what, you just don't bother getting any better? You have a chance to get a generational pass rush talent on your team, and you just decide, well, we're not that good, so why get him? To get better, that's why. To get your defense better. You spent all this money on your defense. To get Milton Williams and Carlton Davis. Were you a Milton Williams away from winning a Super Bowl? No, but you spent the money on him because you wanted to get your defense better. Of course. Well, you don't want to give up the draft picks. Why the hell not? What have you been doing with your draft picks? You're going to draft a Micah Parsons? Good luck. Micah Parsons is expensive, that's why. you'd have had to pay him an exorbitant amount of money, and that's the reason why. So I think the caller was trying to make a double cheap point there, and I will agree with that with the Parsons thing, not so much with Josh McDaniels. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to the rest of your phone calls in just a moment, and Doug Kide's going to join the show and discuss that first week, as well as the all the Belichick shenanigans going on, as he has got his finger on the pulse on all of that. Doug Kide joins the show right after Thomas gets you caught.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Up on what's trending. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. It's the Christian Arcand Show here, WEEI. Doug Kide of the Boston Herald will be joining us here momentarily. Looking forward to talking with him. There is a lot of other NFL-related topics around the league, which we will get to in just a little bit, not the least of which was that whole business with Lamar Jackson and the Buffalo fan. Did you see that? DeAndre Hopkins caught that great touchdown pass. And he's running around, you know, running over by the sidelines. And this Bills fan just shoves him, slaps him on the helmet, shoves him. Hopkins just keeps going. Then Lamar Jackson comes in behind them. That same fan goes and slaps him, too, on the helmet. And Jackson just bodies the guy, just shoves him, launches him back into his seat. And there is a little bit of a follow-up on that, which we'll get to. As also some footage I saw. All around the NFL, a lot of fights in the stands. I don't know if everyone's just mad this year or what, but I saw Rams and Texans, these two girls fighting. This one girl's nose is all bloody. Did you see that one, Thomas? It was brutal.
No, but I need to go find it now.
Yeah, as someone who had his nose broken not too long ago, I know a broken nose when I see one, and that was serious. Anyway, for more on that, actually not at all on that, but for more on the Patriots, their week one loss, and of course, all this Belichick stuff as well, we're joined by the man himself, Doug Kide of the Boston Herald, here on the Christian Arcand Show. Mr. Kide, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I, too, have broken my nose in the past, so I know a broken nose when I see one, too.
Okay, so this year, on Christmas Eve, my son, I was putting the shirt on him, and he headbutted me right in the face. I wasn't ready for it, and I got hit. It cracked my nose, bled like you wouldn't believe. It almost ruined Christmas, Doug. It was really, really bad. But, yeah, I know you. I don't know if you saw this video, but this was clearly the case of a bloody nose. If it's your first time, it gushes, you know?
Yeah, it really does. Yeah, mine was at a like a hardcore punk show. I was in the front row and smashed my face against the monitor on stage. So, yeah, no, there's a lot of blood. It's very evident when you break your nose.
I didn't know you were still going to hardcore. You're moshing.
That was like 15 years ago.
Oh, 15 like, years like ago. All right, you said recently.
Like 8 or 9.
All right, well. Still a funny image to think about anyways. Let's get to the Patriots and what was a disappointing loss, although I think a lot's being made of it because it's week one and there's nothing really else to react to. I kind of reject that a little bit, though, Doug, because I do think you can react to what we saw in the preseason. We didn't really see the joint practices. You guys saw those. But the reporting didn't make it seem like there was all that much to really be jazzed up about going into this year. I think a lot of it was kind of just, well, you got a new head coach and he's going to change everything. And instead, in week one, we got kind of what looked like more of the same.
Yeah, I would agree, especially, I mean, not to go straight into it, but especially with Drake May's performance. Like, if we had seen something different over the course of joint practices and the preseason and training camp, consistently different, then maybe this wouldn't have been, I guess, as worrying, but for him to come out and look so uncomfortable and not even look like himself when he's out there scrambling and to be kind of hesitant out there, it is a lot of what we saw over the summer. So overall, I try not to overreact to week one. I still think that this team could wind up, you know, winning whatever, 7, 8, 9 games, whatever it is. But when these were the same types of issues that we saw with Drake May, kind of dating back to last year and then also over the summer, that's when it starts to feel a little bit more real. And there's a full possibility that he looks completely different here in week two, but I'm just saying what I saw over the summer.
What would you say the plan from an organizational perspective, and I know it's two different regimes here, but from Mayo and that whole thing and Alex Van Pelt to this year with Vrabel and Josh McDaniel, how would you describe the plan for Drake May?
Well, I think they certainly, like, one thing that stayed the same, I guess, is that they want him to avoid turnovers and they want him to protect himself. And obviously he didn't protect himself as well last year. I think that after he got injured a couple times, maybe they tried to scale back the scrambling a little bit. But, I mean, it's something that Mike Vrabel has really preached, is that they don't want Drake May getting hit. They want him to protect himself. They don't want him to take unnecessary risks or hits. So that's one thing that we've seen, obviously, quite a bit already. And then also just the turnovers. I think they really want him to protect the ball, but it does seem like they were trying to put more on his plate this year. And as Vrabel said on Monday, they might try to scale that back now at this point.
Now, scaling it back, we all remember the Cam Newton year with Josh McDaniels, and he had to completely reinvent the entire offense and what that meant for a guy like Newton who couldn't really throw anymore. So I don't expect that type of thing. But when you talk about dumbing down a Josh McDaniels offense, what does that mean exactly?
I think it means like less having to read the defense, maybe less checks at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. Having a field be cut in half, something like that. So I think that's probably what it would look like. And I would say I'm curious to talk to Josh McDaniels this week and see what he thinks that could be. Maybe it's more or less of Josh McDaniels being in Drake May's headset before the plays. Because I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Josh McDaniels even wants to simplify things. Mm. This is what he wants to do. This is what he wants to run. It was Mike Vrabel saying that, you know, they'll have to look into simplifying things or putting less on Drake May's plate. But obviously, Josh McDaniels might not feel the same way.
How do you characterize the McDaniels-Vrabel partnership so far?
It's hard to say. I think that for all summer, everyone was saying the right things, but I would also say that on Monday, when Mike Vrabel was being asked a question about the running game, one of the first words out of his mouth was that, you know, the play caller has to get things in more efficiently. And he mentioned the play caller by name. So I don't know if that's a sign that he wasn't happy with the way that Josh McDaniels was relaying plays, or maybe he was trying to talk about himself in that regard. But I don't think there's any four reasons to believe that it's not going well, but I did take that one little instance and kind of start it away to see if there's any more of those.
All right. Well, I think we all did a little bit of that as well, too, here at the station. A lot of people were talking about that today. We're talking with Doug Kite of the Boston Herald here on the Christian Arcan Show. I want to talk a little bit about the defense, because while the offense is going to get all the headlines here, Doug, the defense is what the team really invested in over the course of the offseason, in terms of free agency anyway. They went full bore spending money on that defense. Spending money for this team is not always the most natural thing in the world when it comes to like top of the market free agents, and they did that this year. And then Geno Smith went out and put up a big day against them. Didn't score a ton of points, but certainly didn't make them look any good. With that much turnover and that much talent infused into a defense, how much do you read into what we saw in that first game?
I think that's one thing that I don't really want to overreact to, especially since Christian Gonzalez isn't out there.
Right.
You know, their pass defense struggled, but they also didn't have their best overall player, who just also happens to be their best, you know, pass defender on the field as well. And obviously you can't bank on him being out there every single week, but the defense clearly isn't going to be as good if Christian Gonzalez isn't on the field. And I actually thought I saw some promising things out there as well. I thought Milton Williams played well. I thought Harold Landry played well. Christian Barmore held up. Carlton Davis made some plays. Alex Austin made some plays. If anything, I had more issues with some of the defensive play calls on Sunday. On the touchdown to Trey Tucker, dropping Christian Barmore and Milton Williams back into coverage, I thought that was being a little bit too cute. Blitzing Carlton Davis on third and one when Geno Smith then just turns and throws it to Jacoby Myers for a first down. Doing an all-out blitz on third and 20 near the end of the game. So I think that had as that was as much of an issue as the players on the field and the talent on the field. And I'm curious to see how things go differently when Christian Gonzalez is back on the field, whether they take as many risks knowing that they've got that good of a cornerback out there, or if they take less risks and say, all right, we can depend on Christian Gonzalez to kind of make up for that. We don't have to be as risky. We don't have to seek out big plays as much.
Do you think fans and people like myself will be justified in freaking out if they go to Miami and lay an egg this Sunday too? Because they always seem to have trouble in Miami. That's not something that's, you know, new to Vrabel or Drake May or Mac Judd. Tom Brady had trouble in Miami at this time of year. But this is, it seems like this is different. It seems like this is a bit of a breaking point in week two of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's justified. Like, obviously people can do whatever they want. It is complicated, though, by the fact that, like you said, like, this team has historically struggled in Miami forever, and they've had some seriously ugly moments over the last 5 to 10 years down there. So I think that they at least have to be more competitive. I think we need to see a lot more out of the offense. The offensive line has to show that they can run block in this game. I'd like to see them make some tweaks to the lineup as well, like get Trevion Henderson more touches, more carries, and also just more snaps. I want to see if Stephon Diggs can play more in this game. So there's definitely still things we can learn, even knowing that obviously it's been a nightmare for the Patriots overall to play down in Miami. So I don't know. Even in a loss, I feel like we can learn more about this team and if they're actually going to be better this season.
Hopefully. And finally, before we let you go here, Doug, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the Bill Belichick drama with UNC and the Patriots. And it was addressed by Vrabel. It was also addressed by Bill. You and Andrew had some great reporting on it. What would you say, where would you say that relationship is right now? Has there been any sort of, after Vrabel's comments anyway, has there been any sort of mending of that fence? Or is this just something that's going to get worse and worse, do you think?
Not that I know of, but you know, it is interesting that like when we both originally reported, you know, the comments from a UNC source, there were still people being like, "Oh, typical Boston media! Like, of course you're going to focus on this." It's like,
yep.
No, they're saying this. Like, they are leaning into this. They are proud of the fact the Patriots scouts aren't allowed at their practices. So it's just interesting to see Bill Belichick double down and triple down and do everything on this. But I like the fact that Vrabel's willing to comment on it, whether it's him saying that, like, you know, it's an individual decision, or for him to give the talking point that everyone should be making that, hey, Bill was here last June. Obviously he was invited back then. So I think that Bill just wants to have a grudge against the Patriots right now. He's going to come up with reasons to do it. And I'm not sure if there's anything really that the Patriots can do at this point to even bother mending fences. It's going to be up to Bill to do that eventually.
Interesting. Do you have any sense of how UNC feels about this, about their head coach slamming the door on one of the 32 companies that could hire one of their kids? Like, I know they're probably not going to be making big statements about it, but do you have any idea how they're sort of looking at this and feeling about it?
No, not like up at the very top or anything like that. But I will say that, like, this isn't, it's uncommon, obviously, to not allow one particular team to have access to practice. But it's not uncommon for colleges to frustrate teams by limiting access at practices. And ultimately, NFL teams are saying, like, this is doing a disservice to your players. And some coaches just don't care. I think they want to protect, you know, themselves against people watching too much of their practices, giving things away, whatever. So I think that's why Bill is limiting every team to only a few periods or something. But yeah, to hold this specific grudge against one team takes us a little bit further than most other college programs.
That's the voice of Doug Kite of the Boston Herald, intrepid reporter on the Patriots beat. You can read his stuff along with Andrew Callahan in the paper all the time. You can find him on Twitter at Doug Kite as well. Doug, thanks so much.
Absolutely. Anytime, Christian.
All right. That is Doug Kite joining me here on the Christian Arcan Show. Some good stuff in there. And I think it's pretty clear at this point that there are some things that aren't things yet, but they're things. Please don't repeat that. But that's, you know, like, it's not quite a thing yet, but it's a thing. We'll see if it's a thick capital T thing. Right now, lowercase t thing is where we are. And I hope it stays that way and then stops being a thing altogether. But it's out there. And now it's just a question of how big and ugly is it going to get, and will it, you know, eat Tokyo? That's pretty much it. This thing can turn into a monster, or it can die and, you know, go away. And it's going to be one or the other, I think. I don't know if there's going to be an in-between. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about people fighting each other at NFL stadiums all weekend long. It's coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, couple of things here. I don't know if you saw this in the game, but after Lamar Jackson hit DeAndre Hopkins with that touchdown pass, you saw Hopkins run around the back of the end zone. Bills fan ran right up to him, slapped him on the head angrily. Not like, hey, good job. Like, it was like, ah, like he's like, hey, he like, cocked back and like hit him. And then Jackson was running in behind Hopkins. The guy goes, slaps Jackson on the head too. And Jackson just shoved the guy. And the guy went flying. It was great. It was great. I don't think anything should happen to Jackson. I don't think that he did anything wrong. If the guy had just patted him on the helmet and then Jackson freaked out, then that'd be different. This guy had already hit one of his teammates and then went and hit him too. And I think the least he could have done was give the guy a little shove, which is all he did. It's not like he punched him in the nose, you know? It's not like he... broke his orbital bone or something like that, which he would have been justified to do as well, I think. Don't touch athletes. What are you doing? What's the matter with you? And you definitely don't touch athletes angrily. You know? That's the thing. You want to slap a guy on the back or, hey, good job, buddy. You know, like, fine. But if you're close enough to reach out and, you know, make contact with a professional athlete, don't take a swing at him. Just don't do it. It's bad for your health. And I don't know exactly what ended up happening with this guy. I saw a very funny video that a lot of people fell for. Did you see this? It was like a guy with a neck brace. And he looked like the guy from the video. And he was like, oh, I'm really sorry. It starts off and it seems like it's real. It starts off and he's like, yeah, I just lost control of my emotions. You know, I'm just such a big Bills fan, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, and he's like, and I was double mad because I was going against Jackson in fantasy in that game. And then I was like, all right, this clearly isn't real. I didn't think it was real to begin with, but that's when I knew for sure it wasn't. A lot of people fell for that one. I also saw a video of two young ladies getting after it at the Rams-Texans game. Did you watch this video during the break? Do you know what I'm referring to?
No, I haven't found it yet. It's on my list of things to do today.
It is gruesome. Gruesome. Houston Texans fan. Blonde girl, you know, just a little blonde girl. And a Rams fan wearing sunglasses who was a little shorter. I don't know exactly what the beginning of it was or how it started or what was said to who, but those two started going at it, and then their boyfriends got involved, and it was more Rams. The game was in L.A., so there was more Rams people in the section than there were Texans people. But there was, you know, stuff happening. Just seemed like a lot of pushing and shoving, maybe a couple of swings here and there. Nothing really all that serious. And then all of a sudden, the video shifts, and you see the two women getting, you know, they're right up at the front of the balcony. You know, they're in the last row in the front of the balcony. And it seems like everything's calm and everything's done and it's over with. And then all of a sudden, the Rams fan girl, this little brunette, she cocks back and just crunches the blonde. Just crunches her. And you can tell just from watching the video that she broke that girl's nose. Because that girl's face, it looked like mankind in Hell in the Cell. Like, it was just, you know, gushing out of her nose, all down her face. And I know that look because I experienced that this year. Wasn't a cool experience like Doug Kyde at the punk show moshing and breaking his nose that way. No. I got assaulted by my 2-year-old son, which is way less cool. Way less manly. Did you take a look at that?
I just watched it. She is full bloody nose coming out. Shout out the boyfriend who takes off his very expensive Aaron Donald jersey to help like cover up the blood. A1 boyfriend right there.
Okay. I thought the boyfriend was the other Texans guy. There was a Texans guy down there too.
Well, it looked like, because it was a two, I thought it was a Texans and a Ram fan from what I saw. Or was it two Texans fans?
The Texans fan's the one with the blood.
Yeah, so then the guy with the Ram jersey, maybe he's just a good bystander.
He's just a nice guy, yeah. Those are expensive, those things. His jersey's like $250.
Especially if that's not your girlfriend, to then take it off and try to cover it up.
Yeah, really.
Really nice guy right there.
Like, you know, you got a jersey, don't you? You know, anybody got a terrible towel? If this happened in Pittsburgh, no problem. You get a couple terrible towels, that thing's no big deal. Yeah, you just tilt your head back, pinch it, and you're good. But yeah, for some reason, and some people have surmised that there was a full moon. Was there a full moon on Sunday? Is that right? I know that there was a big moon out there this week, and I don't know if it was a full moon on Sunday, but I believe it. Because people were out there swinging at the athletes, swinging at each other. It was a full moon on Sunday? Well, there you go. The werewolves came out. That's what happens. On a full moon, you start howling at that moon boy. Football's back. Everyone's back in the state. Everyone's back out in public after a pretty fun summer. I don't know if you had a fun summer or not, but either way, you're back out there. You're supporting your team. Some lady looks at you wrong. All right, well, okay, let's go. Oh, you thought the fight was over? Psych, crack, broken nose. Tough scene out there. Anyway, I would implore everyone to dial it back a bit. Because we're seeing some tough interactions these days. We got that lady at the Phillies game. We got these two NFL examples here. There's not a lot of places to hide. And I'm not saying, you know, you got to go and find everybody's name and dox them and all that stuff. But, like, that's generally how it goes. If you don't believe me, ask the CEO of that company at the Coldplay concert. You know, they'll find you quick. They'll find you. They'll put your business out there, and you'll be answering for it in the real world if you make these type of dumb decisions at these games. So I would just implore everybody, first of all, head on a swivel. Second of all, keep it together, okay? We all live in a society, all right? Let's all just try and get through the day. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones. Good friend Paulie's in Dedham with a thought on Drake May and Mike Vrabel. Hi, Paulie.
Hey, Christian, they will never have to talk you about running around with another woman but the beautiful wife that you had and the beautiful child.
Well, thank you, Paul. Thank you.
I'm telling you, well, you know, I don't know how you landed her, Christian.
When did you see my...
But you sure know how to talk. You know, you can talk a dog off a mean wagon, I guess, when you're a tough kid, so I guess she bought it. Anyway, and good luck to you all.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I earlier on today's other show, with Andy Hart, you know, who never lets you get enough, or, you know, makes you wait forever, or doesn't give you enough time on the air. He cut me off early before I could get to the other side.
Wait a minute, you're calling other shows today? Paul, you can't be calling every show on the dial, you know, you can't
absolutely.
Just do that.
Being paid, you got to be patient with Drake May, for starters, and I wanted to get on to the other side. Mm-hmm. He was a young kid, only played 40 games. You know, guys like Jaden Daniels are a little bit older. He's just a kid. And he's played double the amount of games. Chris Gasper made some great points last night, you know, about being patient and what have you. Even took Josh Allen some time to develop.
Certainly it did, Paulie. And there's a lot of examples on both sides of that coin. And thanks for the call, but we're up against the break, so I can't let you keep going. But that's I understand what you're saying. And there's a lot of examples of guys who waited a year, guys who got thrust right into the quarterback position starting right away and were good right away. C.J. Stroud's a recent example. Like, there's examples of that. Jaden Daniels is another example. There's examples of that type of thing. Drake May was not given that pedigree coming out of college. He wasn't considered to be a plug-and-play guy. He was going to be successful right away. And the Patriots just said, yeah, just throw him out there. And it wasn't even so much that they thought he'd be successful. It's that they knew no one was going to watch this Jacoby Brissett offense last year. It was brutal. I mean, Sundays were not fun with him. And they're not really fun right now either. Let's be honest here. It's not like we've had a lot of fun Sundays over the last 2 years, with or without Drake May. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. How does Paulie know what my family looks like?
That was crazy that he was like, nice family, by the way, you're ugly.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. It's not like he's wrong, but how does he know about all that? I don't think he follows me on social media. Maybe he saw us out one day, maybe, I don't know. hiding in the bush outside my house. I have no, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I don't know. All I know is changing the locks. No, just kidding. Just kidding, Pauly. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Tommy Kern today with Jones and Keefe had a thought on Drake May in comparison to J.J. McCarthy, who had a very good night last night. And we'll get into some of that, some other news around the NFL, the system that they have in some of these other places as opposed to the system here with the Patriots, quarterbacks who have been succeeding, and more. That's coming up along with your New England Nightly News in the 8 o'clock hour, which begins right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.